You're listening to the Park Avenue United Methodist Church podcast. This sermon was delivered by our pastor, Reverend David Gilmore, during a recent worship service in New York City. We invite you to listen with an open heart.
Please repeat after me. There is a word from God today, and it's for me. Would you pray with me and pray for me, O God? I pause right now, thanking you for affording me one more opportunity to proclaim your word. I ask, O God, that in these next few moments you might free me and save me from me. Hide me, O God, in the shadow of the cross, and allow everything that I think, say, and do be pleasing to you. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on down. Come on down. Humility. What does it really mean? My friend Mr. Webster defines humility as the quality or the state of being humble. Many of us know humble. Humble is not proud or arrogant, respectful or lowering oneself in status or rank. And while many of us strive for humility, many of us really want to be more humble. More times than not, it just doesn't seem to work out that way. We, as a society, have a hard time with the concept of humility. In this age of one-upmanship and prosperity, competition seems to color every facet of our life. We compete in sports, except for the Jets. We compete for spouses and/or partners. We compete for what many now seem to seek, that ultimate high of going viral. We compete in our careers. We even compete, believe it or not, in the church. And I'm not talking about a believing us versus an unbelieving world for the hearts of those who do not know Christ either. I'm talking about us-ins versus us-ins. In the midst of all of this competition, it's really hard to be humble, because almost from the time that we're old enough to understand the American way, we are trained to be the best or right. Unfortunately, in our quest to be the best or right, we have a tendency to pick up some bad habits. We do not care often about stepping over or stepping on others as long as we are the best or right. We do not care about walking by or walking around others as long as we are the best or right. Now, if someone is listening today and struggling to catch what I'm trying to pitch, here's another example, and I shudder bringing this up. Politics. In these United States of America, our desire to be the best or right separates us by party. Our desire to be the best or right separates liberals from moderates from conservatives. Our desire to be the best or right is so embossed on our souls that we have people ready to riot because of a Cracker Barrel changing their logo while turning a blind eye to the deliberate watering down and or erasure of historical facts from museums and textbooks. We don't care as long as we are the best or right. Our word from God today, couched in the words of the immortal Johnny Olson. Some of y'all don't know Johnny Olson from The Price is Right, is it's time for us to come on down. It's time for us to come on down from always needing to be right. It's time for us to come on down from always needing to be on top. It's time for us to come on down. Now, today's word from God flies in the face of what the world proclaims. The world teaches us things like, show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser. First is all that matters. Nothing else counts. And winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. You know, Vince Lombardi said he never really said that. However, for those who believe that our lives do not end with a physical death, a little humility goes a long way. For those who believe that this side of the grave is actually the shortest part of our life, a little humility goes a long way. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus has gone to a dinner party. And we need to keep in mind that this was not just any dinner party, but rather a dinner party at the home of one of the leaders of the Pharisees. We know that Jesus ate with tax collectors. We know that Jesus ate with sinners. But here we have Jesus going to the home of an influential church member. I love influential church members, especially the ones that can cook. This tells us something important about Jesus. In spite of how much the Pharisees despised Jesus, he was truly a good or observant Jew. If Jesus had eaten the wrong foods or not obeyed the Torah, he would not have darkened the doorway of any Pharisee because there would never have been an invitation. The main problem the Jewish leaders had with Jesus was not that he disobeyed the Torah or the law of Moses. These leaders knew that Jesus knew his stuff. And Jesus knew that they knew that he knew that he knew his stuff. The problem was that Jesus knew his stuff a little too well. The Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes could quote chapter and verse of the Torah, but they did not really understand or choose to understand the meaning behind the words. We have the same problem in many circles today. Some good church people, outside of these folks here, have memorized the Bible and have no idea what the Bible's actually saying. I'm talking about citing a verse but not living by that same verse. These are the type of people who will use the Bible to beat up instead of lift up, who will use the Bible to exclude rather than include, who will use the Bible to press their point of view and miss the message of God. Yes, some may even surmise this ilk of believer might attempt to rationalize nationalizing Christianity. Instead of living by and into our universally shared truths of love, that's love, peace, tolerance, and welcoming. Let's get into the story. I don't want y'all to run out yet. Jesus has gone to the dinner, and our text tells us that he noticed how the guests chose their places of honor. In other words, the dinner guests were lined up to sit at the head of the table. I can see them now engaged in idle chatter, eyeballing the table the whole time. You know, they're having a conversation, but they're looking out the corner of their eye to see, hey, has my seat opened up? They're slowly edging their way towards their seats, where they'll be able to be seen. And the dinner bell goes off, and off they go, practically running to the hot spots, maybe throwing a few elbows, and not caring about anything or anyone, just needing to be seen. Come on down. I know that we don't know anyone like this, but just in case this may be hitting close to home, Jesus teaches us our first lesson in humility. Winning the race just might set us up to lose face. In the more modern vernacular, Jesus might be saying something like, look, your insistence on being in the hub is making you look like a scrub. Come on down. Face is very important to us, our reputations, our standing in the community, even our place in the church quite often determines how we see ourselves. So we work hard for our reputation and our place. We only go to certain schools and only associate with certain people. We only work, bank, reside, and worship in certain places. We have an image that we are cultivating, and we don't want others to make any mistake with that image. We want others to recognize just who we are. It's a pride thing, and we are a prideful people. Now, before anyone gets the wrong idea, I'm not saying that pride in and of itself is a bad thing. When I see our children wanting to participate in the worship celebration, I feel pride. When I used to hear Lauren conversing fluently and dreaming in French, interpreting something that was said about me. You know, folks would talk bad about me in French, thinking I didn't have any way of knowing what they were saying. That's another sermon. But when I would hear that, and she would explain things to me, I felt pride. When I hear our choir and vocalists singing, or see our ushers ushing, or our counters counting, or watching our outreach reach out, or our nurturers nurture, I feel pride. This is not a bad pride, however, but it becomes a problem when I begin to believe that I had something to do with God's blessings, that I was the reason for the season, that I was the straw that stirred the drink, that I was the reason why something happened. It was my planning, my influence. It's a me thing. A me thing. That's when there's a pride problem. It's when I attempt to place myself ahead of someone else just because I have a pride problem. We need to come on down. Jesus teaches us that it's when we try to lift ourselves up. It's when we begin to blow our own horn. It's when we break our arms, patting ourselves on the back, that we will be brought low. And it's because we are taking God's grace for granted. You know what I'm talking about here. I'm the reason that my family lives where they live. My son or daughter graduated from school because they come from good stock. My will, not God's will, but my will, let me kick that habit or practice that prevented me from rising. We control our destiny, and our hard work, our perseverance, our sweat is the reason for our success. It's when we begin to believe this, it's when we lift up all that we have done, that pride becomes a problem. No, church, we need to come on down. When we recognize the presence of God, when we acknowledge the power of the Holy Spirit, when we give thanks to Jesus for all that he has done in our life, then we will be lifted up. Now, I got a quick story, and I'm a storyteller, so I'm going to tell it anyway. During my 20 years and 15-day naval career, I wore quite a few hats. When I reported to my first ship, I was assigned to clean the heads every day for a month. Now, for those who may not know, the head is that place where one cleans and cleanses. Some people call it a bathroom or a restroom. For 30 days, I had to sweep and swab and scrub and spray the head. I hated my job. I'll say that again. I hated my job. And I didn't have a problem telling anyone who cared to listen or didn't care to listen just how much I hated my job. I hated my job. The Navy had invested more than $100,000 to train me in electronics and computers, and here I was cleaning toilets. I had the attitude that I'm better than this. And since I didn't have it any better, I wasn't going to work very hard. I came in late, skipped out early. Quite often, I would take extended breaks. When I say extended breaks, I mean I'd be gone for hours. If someone commented about my performance or my attitude, I would tell them in Sailorese to mind their own business. Some of y'all may speak Sailorese, and I know it. I was just counting the days until I would be able to get out of there. I had 30 days. I deserved better than this. Well, folks, to make a long story short, I ended up serving 60 days instead of 30 days, cleaning heads. And that's when I came on down. When I left, my attitude was completely different. I had learned a valuable lesson, and I had to be brought low for it to sink in. This was one of the humbling experiences I experienced that caused me to never take anything or anyone for granted. When I got a promotion, I was thankful. When I received a medal or citation, I was thankful. Whatever happened after my stint cleaning toilets, I was thankful. I believe far too many of us may take God's grace for granted. We take God's blessings for granted in our drive to be the best or right, in our efforts to lift ourselves up. We overlook certain things. We take for granted that we will wake up in the morning. We take for granted that we will be able to swing our legs over the side of the bed. We take for granted that we will have a roof over our head, that we will have food in our stomachs, that we will have clothes on our back, that we will have good health and real friendship and real love and a couple of dollars in our pocket. We need to come on down. I'm almost done. But before I close, there's one more lesson that Jesus teaches us about humility. And that is that we should not offer kindness or hospitality or love to others with strings attached. With strings attached. Too many of us are more than ready to offer our service to someone else if there's something in it for us. You know what I'm talking about here. Stopping to help that Rolls Royce with a flat tire. Or offering that nice-looking man or woman a ride to the metro station. Or inviting that famous person to come and speak because we know that the television stations will send someone to cover it. We don't mind lending a hand as long as we know we're going to get something out of it. But Jesus teaches us that we should help the poor and people with disabilities and the hungry and the homeless and those who are afflicted with disease and widows and orphans and those who struggle with emotional illnesses. We need to help people that we don't expect anything from in return. We need to help people understanding and not expecting repayment. That's the last lesson in humility. As Christians, we do what we do because of what Jesus did for us. That went by somebody. Let me say that again. As Christians, we do what we do because of what Jesus did for us. Jesus is the one who healed our sickness and sent manna from heaven and placed a roof over our head and clothed us and, yes, even healed us. Jesus promises that if we do these things, then we don't have to worry about a payment here on earth, and we don't have to worry about owing someone something that we may not be able to repay. If someone's still missing the point, when we descend, our God will ensure that we ascend. Come on down. A little humility will take us all the way to heaven. Those people and those things that we may have leaned on once before, we won't need for this journey. Our family won't do it for us. Our friends won't do it for us. Our jobs won't do it for us. There is a place at the table when we bring ourselves down. It's when we take off our arrogance and take off our high hat and take off our pride that we get our ticket to ride. Our humility and not our bank account, our humility and not our education, our humility and not our reputation will give us a seat at the table among the righteous. I don't know about you today, but I'm living for tomorrow. I'm enjoying today, and I'm grateful that I'm no longer in yesterday, but I'm living for tomorrow with Christ Jesus. I desire to experience that place where there is no more pain and no more sorrow and no more crying and no more death and no more anger and no more worry. I want to be in that place where I can sing and shout and pray and dance and praise all day long. I want to be in a place where I won't have to worry about bills and no money, or wars and rumors of wars, or mass shootings in nightclubs, movie theaters, supermarkets, places of worship, or schools. What about you? Are you willing to come down, hoping to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? My prayer, my hope is yes. And to all I offer shalom and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us. We hope today's message brought peace and inspiration to your week. To learn more about Park Avenue United Methodist Church, visit us online at paumcnyc.org. Grace and peace to you.